My third reason moves to an even deeper level of awareness. For it grows out of my experience in the ghettos of the North over the last 3 years, especially the last 3 summers. As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problems, to bring about the changes it wanted. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent. Done a lot of applauding over the last few years. They've applauded our total movement. They've applauded me. America and most of its newspapers applauded me in Montgomery. I stood before thousands of Negroes getting ready to riot when my home was bombed. Said, we can't do it this way. They applauded us in the sit-in movement. We non-violently decided to sit in at lunch counters. They applauded us on the freedom rides when we accepted blows without retaliation. They praised us in Albany and Birmingham. In Selma, Alabama. Oh, the press was so noble in its applause. So noble in its praise when I was saying, be nonviolent towards Bull Connor. When I was saying, be nonviolent towards Jim Clark. There's something strangely inconsistent about a nation and a press that will praise you when you say, be nonviolent towards Jim Clark, but will curse and damn you when you say, be nonviolent towards little brown Vietnamese children. There's something wrong with that press.